John chapter number 11, verses 40 through 44, calling it forth. Perhaps one of the greatest tricks, ways of deceiving people by Satan, is to stop us from reaching our full potential. Where you are tonight, you should not be content. When I say content, I don't mean that you shouldn't be thankful or grateful, but I just mean that where you are should not be the place in which you say, this is it. If you put your mind to anything, with the grace of God, you can figure out a way. Some of the richest people in the world is not the most educated people in the world. Because sometimes what we do is that we allow society to tell us that we need a college degree in order to be this or to do that. You don't need a college degree. What you need is wisdom from God. God can take what it looks to the world as foolishness, and He can take that thing and favor that thing, and He can turn your whole life around. Now, the good thing, or one of the good things about God, is that it doesn't take God as long to restore me as it took me to mess me up. See, I've been working on me for a long time. I've been doing stupidity after stupidity, year after year after year after year. And so it took me a long time to get here. But when God favors you, in a day, He can turn your whole life around. You have to be in a place that you can receive what God is doing. Inside of you is the image of God. And so because that potential is inside of you, God knows what's there. When you begin to speak words, you show Satan what you're up to. Every time you say something, you cause Satan to attack that area. That's why you have to be careful what you tell your bosom buddies. Because when you release words, words become sounds, sounds become spirits, spirits have life to them. And so when you say, I can't, then God says, amen. When you say, I can, God says, amen. Whatever you say, whatever you petition God for, whatever you're praying for, God is in agreement with you according to your faith. God deals with every man or woman according to the measurement of your faith. So God is saying, I'm going to deal with you where you are. If you have $200 a week faith, then you'll get a check for $200 a week. If you have $2,000 a day faith, God would deal with you right there. He deals with everyone according to the measurement of your faith. Now, faith is the substance of things I hope for. I have no proof. Because it's not here. But if I can see it, I don't have to hope for it because it's already here. And so God is saying, I'm going to put you in a place and I'm going to begin to stretch you. It's never comfortable to be stretched by God. And so what God does is God gets tired of us being in the same place. And so God begins to rip stuff out of your life. Sometimes the first thing that God rips out of our life is relationships with people, with stones that is hindering us. Martha found herself leaning and depending not on God, but on her brother Lazarus. Then all of a sudden Jesus is out of town and Lazarus dies. When Lazarus dies, Martha don't know what to do, because she loves her brother and she could always depend on her brother, but now he's gone. And so God begins to rip from her life because he's trying to increase her faith. Now, your faith, when I say your faith, I mean you as a Christian, your faith should be strong enough for the next person. Somebody is watching you, watching how you go through things, and what they see in you is helping to increase or decrease their faith. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit, not sight, but in spirit, not sight. I can't see God. In spirit, I can see his manifestation, but I have to worship God in spirit. To worship God in spirit requires me to step out of myself. I can't worship God in me, because everything about me, and you by the way, is totally against the Spirit of God. That's because we have the bloodline of Adam, and sin runs through us from generation to generation to generation. That's why you must be born again. It's not born of the water, it's born of the blood that puts us in the right place. And so God is trying to deal with Martha through Jesus. And so Martha's saying, well, Lazarus is dead. And because Lazarus is dead, you have to find fault with somebody. Because God, how could you be loving and rip stuff out of my life? Because I'm worshiping you, I'm praying to you, and it seems like everything should be going smooth in my life. But here you come, God, ripping stuff. And when I was in the club, me and you, God, appeared to be all right. You wasn't. The problem was, you wasn't a child of God. You were a bastard without a father, a holy father. And so God had no reason to chastise you. He didn't care what you did. You do what you want to do. You didn't belong to him. That's why it seems like when you were in the world, everything was so smooth. Because your daddy at the time, Satan, he liked that. You're in partnership with him. Then you come to God. And when you come to God, your father, now you have a father. And he says, I love you enough to chastise you. You remember when your mom used to say to you, it's going to hurt me more. No, God, I don't think so. Until you get a child and you realize that's the truth. Because what I'm trying to do is train you up in the ways of the Lord. Because if I don't do it now, the world is going to do it. And I'm going to pay for it now, and I'm going to pay for it then. And God is the same way with us. He's saying, I need to chastise you because I need you to move so that you can walk in my path. Because in my path, he says, I'll light up your pathway. And so God wants to bless us. But in order for God to bless us, we got to walk by faith and not by sight. And so for Martha, what God has to do is through Jesus Christ has to allow Lazarus to go. And so now Lazarus is dead, and Martha does the same thing that church folks is doing today. And that is, she gets cynical with God. God, if you were who you said that you were, then this would not have happened. That's us. Or we pray, and when we pray to God, and say, God, now you said it, but I don't see it. See, sometimes when we begin to talk to God, what we are saying is not necessarily our heart. And that's the story of Martha. Martha is saying, well, you know, if you would have been here, Lazarus is not dead. But I know, whatever you ask of God, he'll do for you. In other words, she's saying that, but she doesn't believe that. She's talking about Jesus, but she has no trust in the Jesus that she's talking about. And that's you and I tonight, where sometimes God will push us out on a limb, allow some things in your life that is really, really close to you to die, and say, do you trust me now? When you see no way out, do you still trust me? When your world is upside down, do you trust me right now? Are you still talking about me? Or do we really have a relationship? And when you trust me, when you begin to trust me, you don't need to see your way out. You just know God is your way out. God is a way maker. And see, God places us sometimes in these horrible situations, or allows to be in these horrible situations, so that somebody else can see his manifestation or his Shekinah glory in you. So when you begin to go through something and people begin to watch you, take your Bible and shut your Bible, because you don't even need it, because God is saying you are a New Testament scripture. That's what your Bible says. So just like you read about them in the Bible, Bible. God is saying, I'm writing a scripture on you because your faith is going to pull you out. Somebody that's not reading the Bible, go see the character and the integrity in which you walk out of something, in which you turn the other cheek, in which you stand and wait on the Lord. And somebody's going to say, I want the God that you're serving.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Martha says, if you would have been here, Lazarus would have never died. And so, as God or Jesus began to allow some things to be ripped out of her life, she confronts the fact that Lazarus is dead. There's some stuff that you're still carrying in your life, but it's dead. You wonder why you can't really move and you can't flow like you used to flow. It's because you're carrying some baggage. Susan can't go everywhere with you. George can't go everywhere with you. There's some places in the Holy of Holiness God is saying you got to come on your own. On your own faith, on your own strength, by my grace, you got to come. You can't bring somebody else with you in certain places in life. Now, quite often when you read the Bible, what you'll discover is that when Jesus walked into a room, walked into an atmosphere, the first thing he did was put some people out. Hello? You got some people in your life, you need to put them out. You can't go because you're carrying baggage. Every time God sent you what could be Mr. Right, you remember what Mr. Wrong said, and you don't trust Mr. Right. I ain't talking about you, I'm just saying. See, God will put a blessing right in your face, but doubt will come up and say, the last time, it didn't happen like that. It didn't happen the last time because that wasn't your time.
All right.
But this is your moment. This is your season. You better reach out and call it forth while that thing is standing right in your face. God will begin to rip some stuff out of your life. And he'll allow, as he begin to rip, he will crush some things for your confession. In other words, he has to make it so bad, so hard, that he puts you on your knees. Where he puts you in a place of confession to say, God, I can't do this thing. This is beyond me. And he says, say that again. And you said, this is beyond me. And he says, it's just right for me. Because I am my own time God. Because I can open doors. Because I can make ways out of no way. Because I can grace you and favor you. And folk will look at you and wonder how you got where you are. Because you're not qualified, but he favors you.
Thank you, Lord.
He favors you. See, God favors you because he adopted you into the family. And so even though he allows some things to crush you, he's doing it for your confession. Because in order for you to receive the grace and mercy of God, it begins with belief and confession. You can't jump over belief and confession and say, here, God, bless me. God will allow some things to get really, really bad in your life. Now, for Lazarus in verse number 39, which is quite interesting to me, and it says in verse number 39, Jesus said, take ye away the stone, Martha. Hello, Martha. 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 Come on, Jesus, stop playing. No, no, no. Martha, do you hear me? Do you see me? He says, Martha, the sister of him that was dead. The sister of him that was dead. Now, notice how Jesus is talking to Martha about Lazarus who was dead, but he still hasn't called Lazarus forward. Get that? The stuff in your life that you perceive as dead, God is saying it's sleeping. It takes your faith to wake it up. You got some dreams, some desires, some aspirations inside of you that is still there from the time that you were a child, but throughout life people have put it to sleep and said it was impossible, but that's not the bad part. The bad part is you was crazy enough to believe what they said, and they don't like you, and they don't even want you to succeed. It's just sleeping. And Jesus said, he says, Martha, in verse number 39, Jesus says, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, cynical, by this time, boy, he's stinking. Not only is he dead, but that situation stinks. You ever got caught up in a stinking situation? I'm not talking about where God just exposed it, but it was just all bad all the way around. That thing just stinking. You didn't want nothing to do around, nothing to do with it, didn't want to be around it, didn't want anything at all to even resemble that thing. Sometimes God will allow something in your life for it to be stinking, but he'll pull you out of it and you won't smell like where you just came from. Sometimes God will pull you through a situation, and when he pull you through the situation, you won't look like the hell that you've been through. You know what I'm talking about, because some of us been in some bad situations, some ugly situations, but God says, I'll pick you up, place your feet on solid ground, I'll turn you around, watch you, and put you in another direction.
Hallelujah.
And now when you meet him or her, you don't even look like where you've been. And you have to tell folks your story for them to really understand the glory that is on your life. Because I can't believe that. You mean you what? Yeah, that was me. And they can't even believe it. Because God will cover some stuff for you.
Yes, he will.
Thank you, Lord.
So Martha says, this thing stinks. When she said that, what she's alluding to, in biblical days, the thought was, after you're in the ground for 3 days, your spirit leaves your body. I know it's crazy. Their thinking was, when you die, for 3 days after you're dead, the spirit stays in your body. Now, we know that's wrong because the Bible declares to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord instantly. So ain't no 3 days you just kind of camp out and you gone. Okay. So erase that thought. But that was their thinking. So in other words, it wasn't until the 4th day that Jesus showed up. The number 4 in the Bible represents deliverance. 40 days here, 400 years there. The number 4 represents deliverance. Now what Jesus did was, when he heard Lazarus was dead, he says, okay, aren't you going to move? No, not right now. Do you ever have that talk with God? Do you ever pray and ask God to move? And he says, not right now. And you say, you must do not hear me. You must not know my situation. You must not see the danger in front of me. And he says, not right now. Well, I've been here for 3 days. When you gonna move? And he says, I'm gonna allow it to be dead, stinking, and all messed up. And then when I show up, you know it was me. See, God sometimes will take you until the very end of something, and then he'll show up. And see, when God does that, not only does he do something in your life where you see the goodness of God, but somebody else who smelt your stinking situation says, you through. And God is saying, uh-uh. But God sit back and allow you to go through something. And when you begin to go through it, and you dare, and God is saying, now I'm going to resurrect you from there. From where? From here? Do you know my credit? Do you know my background? Yeah, I know it because I allowed it to happen. Sometimes God will allow something to happen, and he'll take you all the way through it. And when it seems like it is finished, you need to know that it's not over yet.
All right.
Until God says, that is over.
Thank you, Lord.
He moves Lazarus to a place of rest. Look at verse number 14. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. See, because the disciples says, well, maybe he's just sleeping. Then one said, well, since he's sleeping, let us go sleep too. See, sometimes people can be close to you and clueless to what you're going through. And you wonder why. Why didn't they help me? Why didn't BJ offer me $20? He should have known. See, sometimes God says you got to confess some stuff. See, you get mad with people sometimes because they don't do things for you. But your little arrogant self, too prideful to go to a friend and say to a friend, this is what I need. I'm naked before you, and if we're truly friends, I know I can say something to you and you're going to cover me. If we're really friends, I know that I can lean and depend on you and you're not going to take it anywhere. But we have so many fair weather friends, unreal friends, that you know you can't tell nothing to. But you like them. Lazarus find himself resting. Then Jesus says, no, Lazarus is dead. There can be no resurrection until first death takes place. In your life, God will allow some things not to sleep, but to die. And you say, but God, I like him. I like her. I like that situation. And God is saying, but I'm calling you forth. I got something for you, but I got to kill that thing in order for you to see me. And so God moves Lazarus from a place of rest. And then in verse number 43, look at verse number 43. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. That's the place from rest to restoration. Okay? Now, when God restores you, that's not it. To restore you is to take you back to your original state. Before Lazarus was dead, I'm sure there were some things in Lazarus' life that he didn't like. So God is saying, I don't want to restore you back to where you were before you got caught up. Because before you got caught up, even though you got caught on that one, you had some other stuff going on too. God sees all and he knows all. So what God is doing is moving us to a place of restoration where God is saying to us, now that you are dead, now I can call you forth. When God says, Lazarus, come forth, Lazarus got up out of the grave and Lazarus walked out of the grave. When Lazarus walked out of the grave, come face to face with Jesus, then God says, or Jesus says, release him. So he moves from a ripping, tearing some things away. Once he ripped everything out of your life, he then allows you to rest or to die. Once death come about, he restores you, but he doesn't stop there. Then he says, I need to release you from some stuff. See, because some of us here, we're still alive. When you were born again, God restored you, but you're not released from the opinions of people. You're not released from your bad credit. You're not released from your unemployment. You're not released from the vice, from the addictions in your life. And God is saying, I want to do more than just restore you. I want to release you. And then when Lazarus came forth, Jesus says, now take away his grave clothes. There's some stuff that you hiding behind is your grave clothes. You think can't nobody see, but they can see. You ever dealt with children and you were trying to play with the little child and they cover their eyes? If they can't see you, they thought you couldn't see them. You ever did that? See, that's the way we are. We think that just because we can't see that it doesn't exist. And God is saying, no, I want to release you from it. I know everything about you, but I want to release you from that. I know every single sin in your life, but if you come to me, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, I'll release you from the thing that you think that you tied up in. See, when God moves us to a point of releasing, then God moves us to a point of liberty. The Bible declares where the Spirit is, there is liberty. Now, I don't want God to restore me and I'm still I am still under the control of the opinions of other people. I don't want God to restore me and I still can't do what I want to do. I still can't move like I want to move. I still got to wait for somebody else because I'm depending on somebody else. When God releases you, he says you can move forward on your own.
God moves us to a place where he releases us. And like Lazarus, we often will find ourselves wrapped up in situations and circumstances where God is saying, you're free, but we're still wrapped up in stuff.
Well, you know they said that about me. And you know they said I'll never be anything. I'll never amount to anything. And so we all wrapped up mentally in what other people are saying. And God is saying, take those grave clothes off. But you're still wearing it. What they said about you. What about what God said about you? Why don't you wear this? Where God is saying to you that you are the head and not the tail. I know what they said about you, but God is saying, who do you believe? I created you. When something happens in your life, something is broken, I know how to fix you. When something in your life goes wrong, take it back to the Creator. Take it back to the Maker, and God can fix your little situation.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
But he says, our pride, our ego, our arrogance, we all wrapped up in stuff. We're so tied up in stuff, we don't even know who we are anymore. I mean, am I a child of God or am I what they say? Well, who is they? You know them. You mean them that really don't like you? Why are you sleeping with that person every night? I don't mean physically. I mean mentally. Why are you living what somebody else said about you and they at home kicking and have a good time, you at home deep in depression? What's wrong with you, Lazarus? You can't worry about what people are saying about you. If people are talking about you, that simply means you got it going on.
Amen.
You may not see all of it, but they do. And the only reason they are jealous, stabbing you, hating, backbiting, is because they know when the grave clothes come off.
Glory to God.
And you really release, they can't stop you. And so what they're trying to do is trying to pin you in a grave. But that's not your grave, that's their grave for you. Doesn't mean I have to lay there. You see, what God is saying is just like he was dealing with Martha. To say, Martha, you don't have to depend on Lazarus. Here is Jesus who's saying, yeah, Martha says, Jesus, now, if you would have been there, Lazarus would not have died. And then Jesus says, I am the resurrection. What's dead in your life tonight that you need Jesus to resurrect for you? Think about that thing in your life. I mean, you've been dealing with it. You've been carrying it. You've been crying about it. You've been praying about it. And it is dead. And God is saying, give it to me. It's dead. Wrong for you, but just right for God. See, what you think you need, you really don't need. God sometimes will allow something to die in your life to show you that he's still alive. Your stuff may be dead, but he's still alive. And if he is alive in you, baby, he got the power to call it forth. He'll call it forth and step over your bad credit, step over your inability, step over your light, step over your haters, because he says, I am calling it forth. When he begins to call it forth and he favors you, what you thought you needed, you really don't need. God put us in that place and he says, Lazarus, come forward. God is calling somebody tonight. And he's saying to you, come forth. You may
that crazy dream I have every night about running my own business?
Yeah, baby. Call it forward.
You mean the relationship?
Yeah, call it forward.
You mean my child that is just way out there?
Call it forward.
Glory to God.
See, but when you call it, make sure you sign what you call it. Get this. When you call it forth, sign it in the name
of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
See, when you sign it with the blood, it is sealed, it is done, it has to get up in your life. If you begin to speak to your situation, speak to your circumstance, watch them get up out of the grave. Because in the name of Jesus, they can't lay there. Because God is alive and He's waking up your situation and your circumstance. You better begin to talk.
Thank you, Lord God.
Life and death is in the power of the tongue. You better open your mouth. You better begin to tell God what God told you. You better begin to decree and declare His word. You better begin to say unto Him, you said this about me, and I'm going to stand right here until you fulfill it. I know it looks like death is coming, but I'm not going anywhere until you fulfill what you put in my life. You better begin to talk to God just like He's really here, because He is right here.
Thank you, Lord God.
But what if I don't know how to pray?
It's okay.
See, Jesus teaches His disciples in the book of Matthew. He teaches them, He says, pray in this manner. He says, our Father, which art in heaven. On earth. Sometimes I don't remember all that. Glad that I have a relationship with God where I can say in a tough time, I know it's you know my need. And even when I can't say a word, when the tears begin to fall, I'm so glad that He can take those tears, and the Bible declares He takes your tears and put them in a jar, because He says, I'm going to remember this forever. See, even when you're not praying out, the Spirit is interceding for you. That's why some of the things that you think you want in the natural, God won't let them happen. Because God is saying, the Holy Spirit is interceding. And the Spirit is saying, you don't need that, baby. No, 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 no. That's why we need to thank God for not answering some prayer. That's why we need to thank the Holy Spirit for interceding. Because God knows our need. When God knows your need, God will jump over everything. And He'll meet your need. Do you know God to be a need meter tonight?
Amen.
Have you ever found yourself dead in a situation, wrapped up in dead clothes, saw no way out, but you begin to talk to God? And when you begin to talk to God, one day, one night, the Spirit spoke to you and says, I'm calling it for. And somehow you got up out of your mess. I know if you're here tonight, you've been through hell before. I know if you're here tonight, you've been through something. But you still standing, and God called you out of your grave. Satan thought, your enemy thought that you were defeated, but God called you out of that thing. That's why we can give Him some praise.
Hallelujah.
We can praise Him because I was dead in sin, and God says, I'm calling you out.
Hallelujah.
And when God began to call us out,
thank you, Lord God,
He allowed us to walk out. And even though you've been through something, God is saying, don't worry about where I'm bringing you from. Keep your eyes on where I'm taking you to. But seek me first, the kingdom of heaven. And He says, when you begin to seek the kingdom, He says, I add everything else to you. See, our problem is that we keep looking at the stuff and not at Him. And God is saying, come after me, I'll give you the stuff. All ye that have it laden, He says, I'll give you rest. He's calling it forth. He's calling it forth.
Thank you, Lord God.
And as God began to call it forth, He simply wants us to reach out to Him. is saying. You're in a situation tonight. You going through something and it's dead. Everything that you tried to do, nothing is working for you. I got wonderful news for you tonight. And the news is simply this. God is going to do something in your life without you.
Hallelujah, God. Oh, hallelujah, glory to God.
He doesn't need your help. He doesn't need you to do anything but to be obedient to him.
Yes, yes.
And he's going to do it without you. He hears when you cry. He knows what's in your heart. He knows what you're going through. All he wants you to do is just be obedient to him. He'll do it for you. That's the kind of God that we serve. He sits high and he looks low. He says, I never leave you. I never forsake you. Just trust me. I know you're going through hell, but just trust me. I know it looks bad, but just trust me. I know it's dark, but I'm the light of the world. Just trust me. Come on and stand with me tonight.
Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah.
You're here tonight, and man has already put your situation in a place, dressed you in your grave clothes. And God is saying, release him. Release her. God is releasing. That's God. God is releasing if you reach out and say, Lord, I want to be free. I want to be free. And he said, if you don't know me, just take a step of faith. Now notice when he called Lazarus. Lazarus walked out of the grave. Somebody here in a grave need to walk out of your grave tonight. If you're here tonight as the deacons come forward, and you're not sure about your relationship with God, walk out of your grave right now. Walk out of your grave right now. Come on. Come on. Dead in something, walk out of it. Come on. Let him have it. Let him have it. Just walk out of it right now. Walk out of it. You're here, you're in a situation, and nothing is working, nothing is moving. It's dead. It's dead, it stinks. Nothing good about it. If you just walk out of your grave right now, I wouldn't be concerned about what they think. I don't care what you think. I want my blessings. I want to be in the presence of God. I want what God has in store for me. Take a step of faith tonight. If you're here tonight, no relationship with God, or maybe you do. You just need to rededicate yourself to God. Or maybe you need a church home. Walk out of your grave tonight. Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus didn't argue with Jesus. He didn't debate the situation. He didn't think about it. He didn't say, but this got me here, and there's a stone in front of me and a grave and dirt over me. He says, just move. Is that here? Is that here? Is that you? In your grave. God is saying, step. Take a step of faith. Here, no relationship with God, no church home. Take a step of faith. Take a step of faith.
seated tonight in the presence of God.